New Realities. This is Alan Steinfeld. This program is dedicated to evolving human potentials in an evolving world. This series explores the ideas of how to become more conscious beings. And I present programs each week that help us look at our automatic behavior, become more spiritually aware, open, and create a better planet to live on. And tonight's guests are two people very much involved in creating a better planet. They are Ina and Isu, and they're part of the Barca Foundation. And are you on the line there?
We are.
Good. So this program really explores different types of spirituality, and I know you're connected to the West African understanding. Can you give us a little background on the traditions you come from and your teacher, and then we'll go into what initiatives you're taking. So go ahead. Ina, Isa?
Well, what brought us both, I think, to the place that we're at and who we would like to give thanks to is Maladoma Patrice Somme.
Uh-huh.
And he, if you anybody wants to read about him, Asu, maybe you can give this information because he has...
Just Google him.
He has a website and he has...
Spell that name.
Maladoma, Maladoma, which means to become friends with the enemy or to
uh-huh.
make friends with the stranger. And his last name is S-O-M-E, Somme. And he is an initiated African elder from the Dagara tribe of Burkina Faso. And
so that's traditional African spirituality?
That's
yes.
right. He calls it indigenous African spirit technology. He's become
uh-huh.
kind of sick of the word shaman and shamanistic and all that. And he's really in that terminology, indigenous technology.
And this is West Africa, right?
That's right. This is Burkina Faso.
Because I did a show with, I guess, a shaman from Mali, the part of the Dogon tradition.
They're right above Burkina, the Dogon tribe.
So do they connect with their knowledge? Do they share knowledge?
They share a commonality. It's expressed in different ways, but it's such a basic way of being that we.
But what are some
really
of the core beliefs in
of?
This tradition?
It's life. It's how they live.
How do they live?
Like tradition. But if the whole world blew up tomorrow, they'd just get up and go about their way.
Well, what do they do? How do they live? Like, aren't they also being, like, invaded by technology and all
yes.
that?
Yes. Well, that's why we're on the phone right now.
No.
Okay. Okay, good. But tell me, give me a little, like, taste of their traditional life and how they're in touch with the Great Spirit.
Oh, if every high school student in the United States, in particular,
mm-hmm.
were to go to an indigenous culture before they graduated from high school, the whole world would change very, very quickly.
Yeah, that's a great way of saying it.
That have had the blessing of being able to hold on to tradition despite colonization.
Mm-hmm.
There's no separation. You know, they've already got what we're running after, bumping into walls, looking for.
Right. And so what do they do every... How do they live? I mean, is everything alive to them? Everything has consciousness?
Oh. Yeah, it has to be, because they're so intricately connected. You know, they don't know anything else other than being completely and totally a part of what is in their lives.
I see. So they're just always connected. I mean, how did you two white guys, kids from the U.S., how did you find yourself in West Africa studying this tradition?
Through the grace of the ancestors.
And how was that?
The blessing of Maladoma Somme.
But how did that actually happen, like, in the you know,
he does
detail
training.
Part?
He's a teacher.
Uh-huh.
And... he has trainings where he shares his tradition with people who are seriously interested. And
what was it about that tradition that really got you both?
Yeah, it got us both. Well, the thing of it is they believe in the Daguerre tradition, and I'm sure other traditions around the world, that we signed a contract before we came here into the physical form. Mm-hmm. And if we have the good fortune, then we are able to fulfill that contract.
And which means, what do you mean by what kind of contract?
Truly living life on purpose and knowing what that purpose is.
And what is that purpose, to be caretakers of the planet, would you say?
Yeah, oh yeah. It's
individual. It's different for everyone. For Ina and I, you know, it has been about changing our lives very dramatically.
Oh, very.
in order to align ourselves with this very singular sense of purpose for us, which is about giving back.
Reciprocity.
Is about giving back to Africa, is about creating reciprocity with indigenous cultures from all over the
everywhere,
world.
Everywhere, yeah.
And
they're still holding on.
But you know, there's lots of things out there. There must have
really
been
talking.
Something particular about what this guy said that just really activated something. Can you remember that moment where you said, yes, this is what I want to do?
I can tell you, for me, that it wasn't about anything that had to do with my head at all.
Uh-huh.
Because when he spoke, it did not enter my being through my ears.
Uh-huh.
It entered through every cell of my being and went into the marrow of my bones and woke me up.
Uh-huh. How long ago was that?
Oh, Lord. Don't ask me time.
Was that like years or months or days?
The year 2000.
No, days, but...
Not
a
long
years ago.
Not long ago.
Less than
but
a year.
Also lifetimes ago. I mean, it's been lifetimes coming to this moment. It's been
so you too, Ina, is
moment.
That the same for you? Something woke you up?
Well, it's been a sort of a very sudden but simultaneously a rather gradual awakening. You know,
and then you both went to Africa. What did you see in Africa when you went there?
Well, I'd like to actually go back for a second
okay,
tell you a little bit about this process of awakening.
Okay, great.
Okay?
Yes, that's what the show's about. It's about awakening, so please.
So, you know, I was in the corporate world, and I was producing television and working with internet media and working with Real Networks, the pioneer of streaming media on the internet, and Microsoft and their Windows Media Division, and all that corporate hoo-ha. And
uh-huh.
Actually, my wife at the time, who is no longer, you know, we're no longer together, went to an acupuncturist who couldn't help her through acupuncture. And she said, you know what? Come with me. I'm going to go out of the box a little bit and see what else I can do to help you. And she did a traditional African divination. And this was a style of divination that is done in the Dogon tradition, that's also done in the Daguerre tradition. It's called cowrie shell divination.
It's called what? Emanation?
Cowrie shell. You know those little shells that are white? They have like a sort of... I think it's a sea creature, actually, and they used to be traded in Africa as a form of money. And
uh-huh.
You still see them in
so they throw those shells in order to kind of see what's happening with the person.
That's right, and I should say that Ina is a very wonderful diviner. You know, I just want to throw that in as an aside. She's been trained over the period of years in Africa.
Uh-huh.
And is a very talented diviner.
They throw bones to the, I saw a film about Credo Mutua from South Africa. And
I've heard about the throwing of the bones. I think that would be fascinating. It all pretty much is the same. It's just that they use a different medium.
And to kind of see the signs. So this person took your wife, ex-wife, to this show. And what happened?
I was there. Yes, I was present, and my daughter, who was about 5 at the time, was also present, and it was absolutely fascinating. I mean, we were just blown away by the
process. Well, what happened? Tell me.
Well, I mean, I can't really remember the details. You know, she was able to get to certain... You know what it was? There were certain ritual prescriptions. What came out, what comes out of any divination is what's referred to as a prescription, which means basically spirit is telling us something in the divination.
Giving us an answer to our question.
That's right, to go do. And I think, you know, the thing that and it often it deals with nature. It deals with the elements.
Earth.
Let me back up.
So did you a directive to take action in your life?
Let me back up for one second.
It changes
here.
Everything.
Go ahead.
There are five elements in the traditional Dagra cosmology. Which
right.
Sort of
the same as Hindu and Chinese philosophy as well.
They're similar.
It maps very much along lines of traditional Chinese medicine. So there's earth, water, and fire, which are all identical to TCM, traditional Chinese medicine.
Right. I'm an acupuncturist, so I know what you're talking about, yeah.
And then in the African spirituality, in the Dagra tradition, there's nature, which corresponds to wood in Chinese, and there's mineral or stone, which corresponds to metal.
It also has to do with bone.
That makes sense.
And so, you know, everything is kind of seen through this elemental lens and perspective. So I think one of the prescriptions that came out of that divination might have been to put an egg, a fertile egg, in running water, in some kind of a stream, some kind of running water, and that had to do with abundance, and it had to do with protection, and it had to do with flow.
It has to do with connecting to the spirit of water. It's about the spirit of water and what the spirit of water has to offer
and it all,
that we have forgotten
and
in this
what
culture.
What does the spirit of water have to offer that we've forgotten?
The water had to be on a mountain, I believe, and the mountain is symbolic of one's greatness, one's truest, greatest potential.
Beautiful.
So in this way, you know, beginning to follow this kind of work, you actually begin to step into your true power, into your greatness. And
into the contract.
And for me, you know, it was a process of aligning myself with my soul purpose. And suddenly,
so
you know,
your ex-wife had this reading, and it was really amazing. It shifted your lives, and then you said, I want to know more about this.
That's
oh,
right.
And sometimes you can say no, 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 and you run and scream and head the other way. But as Melodoma says, you can run, but you can't hide.
But Alan,
I'd like to meet Melodoma
right.
And interview him. Is he ever in New York?
We've started working with this woman in this very alternative African spiritual modality. And then we ended up bringing Melodoma Somme to the Northwest. I was living in Bainbridge Island at the time.
Oh, outside of Seattle. I know Bainbridge.
That's right.
That's your connection to Microsoft and all that, right.
To Port Townsend, where he started a year-long training with a whole bunch of people. And lo and behold, you know, it turned out that he had already been working with people on the East Coast, which is where I soon moved, and Ina was working with people in the East Coast, and that's how we met. And everything began to kind of fall into a very deep alignment with a notion of healing and a notion of, you know, sacredness and community and all sorts of good stuff that comes out of this work.
So you left your job, you left
it's also
the whole
like
corporate
going to
world?
Back.
Go ahead, Alex.
Is that what that happened to you?
Yeah, I basically, I knew toward the end of my corporate career, I mean, it wasn't immediately after that, it was a period of over 2 years after that I began to really feel like I needed to be of service to the world and that I couldn't be in the corporate world anymore just helping to make shareholders, you know, more wealthy.
Right.
And
so you want... So you wanted to do something that gave back to the planet.
That's right. That's right. And
not only to the planet, it's much bigger than that.
Well, tell me, how much bigger is it than the planet?
Well, the first thing to realize is the ancestral line that did whatever they had to do in order for us to be living and breathing in this moment.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
That's where we start with melanoma.
So tributes to our ancestors.
It opens the gateway to the world of spirituality and
other dimensionality
and spiritual technology, which is what he's been teaching us. And it's you know, through remembering where the heck you came from, whether you know their names or not. You know, I mean, how many of our ancestors suffered and died and kept on keeping on and made new members of the lineage.
So we
could be here talking on the phone about it right now and saying, hallelujah, thank you very much. You want to help us out, please?
Exactly.
And then you go to the earth.
It's almost an infinite amount of
the things that are
of people in our lineage and our line that has brought us to this moment. It is something to definitely pay tribute to and acknowledge, because
most people don't even know it's there anymore.
Okay, wait. Ina has
they're so disconnected from who they are.
Ina, that I'm going to tell you.
No, stop.
Is that she's a songstress? She's a songwriter. She's published. She has songs that come through her, songs that are directly from spirit. And
Ina does.
It's all about the ancestors. So I'm going to put Ina on the spot.
No.
Just give us a little hum, Ina. Just a little bit. Just to connect
us.
It's not about you and the ego. Just let something come through.
Oh, no, I know that. I just want to do it right.
Go ahead.
Well, you're doing it right. All righty.
Well, I guess if I have to do this, the first thing I have to do is tell the story about it.
Okay.
And I have a magic cabin on a magic lake. It's a vortex that is one of those places like Africa that will change your life. And
where's that?
I was living there alone, not alone, because I had a dog and two cats. And
whereabout is that? You don't have to tell us the exact
place. It's in unorganized territory in Maine.
In
T3ND.
Okay. It's the bush.
Township 3 North District.
Okay.
And I had to prepare to help be a container for a women's gathering, and it was about thinking about and experiencing what it was like to bring the matriarchal line of all of us into the gathering. And I didn't know what to do. You know,
right.
I'm not a facilitator.
Yeah, you are.
So I went for a walk, and I walked until there wasn't any more roads, and then I kept walking down by the shore, and all of a sudden I came upon this gigundous rock, and the only way I could get up onto it was that there was a tree that had fallen over onto the rock, so I walked, you know, kind of climbed and walked up the tree, and the rock was huge, and I got up on there, and there was a briar patch. There was a raspberry patch.
Mm.
Growing on the top of the rock.
Wow.
So I stepped into the middle of the raspberry patch, and I said a prayer. I said, please help me. Please help me. I got to go do this with these women, and I don't know what to do. So they gave me this song. And I'll do my best to sing it.
Okay.
And this is dedicated to all of those for whom I sing. We are the ancestors of tomorrow as we live and breathe today. We give birth in every moment with what we think and do and say. In honoring those who came before us, we create the world anew. Open your heart, let love flow freely in all you think and say and do. Then all of our children's children's children will have their chance to pray to you.
Nice.
So anyway.
Thank you. I should connect you to Susan Weed, who's recording a lot of these.
Oh, my God, I've been to Susan Weed's place.
All right, so she's recording a bunch of those folk songs.
Oh, nice.
Those
I didn't know that.
Kind of hymns to the planet, you know? So she's putting together a whole thing.
Oh, beautiful.
Thank you.
Wonderful.
Thank you for sharing that inspiration. So if we get back to Africa and then this thing that you're doing now, which is your organization called Barka, B-A-R-K-A.
Yes.
Barka means thank you.
In which language?
Big thank you. It's gigantic thank you.
Yeah.
And
there's a plea within it that is about the reciprocity that we're talking about. Alan, if I can just say this, you know, if I can give one message tonight, it's about the true need for reciprocity between our very modern, technological, sophisticated Western world.
Consumerized.
And the indigenous world that is still very directly connected to nature and spirit and survival.
Mm.
And that we need to help each other. That, yes, we have many gifts and things to offer, aid and money and all sorts of stuff like that.
But they can teach us how to live.
And they've got something that is of equal value, which, you know, we have forgotten ourselves. And that is, you know, the wonder of being alive and the joy of community and protecting and caring for one another. And, you know, when you go into the bush of Africa, you know, on the one hand, you say to yourself, wow, I guess this, you know, they have no possessions, they have no running water, you know, this
poverty. Oh, they live in filth. They live in filth.
Yeah, the chickens and the goats and the sheep and the donkeys, you know, the pigs, everyone's running around, pooping all over the place. Can we say bad words on the Internet?
You can say whatever you want.
Fabulous.
So people are living in shit, and, you know, Enid...
And their immune systems are so strong, you wouldn't believe it.
Really,
I mean,
because a lot of Africa, you know,
malaria,
is dying from a really depleted immune system.
That shines through their eyes. The adults haven't lost their ability to play. They play like children, and they...
And they
isn't it true that a lot of Africans are tempted by what they see in the West and America and want to, like, let go of their old ways and become more modernized?
Wait, say that again?
I'm saying, don't a lot of the young Africans see what we have here in America and want to forget their old ways and want to become modern?
Yeah, and we want, because we want to record, especially the elders. I've had the privilege of being blessed by two elders that were over 100 years old, and both of them are now gone. And
right, but
I want
the youth of Africa,
the language, and I want
doesn't seem interested in what
them.
The elders have to offer.
And if it's not recorded, it's going to be lost, just like it was lost in this country when the white people came and blew everything to bits. That's what's going to happen over there with modern technology, and it needs to be recorded because it may be the only thing that's left.
Alan,
so you're trying to preserve this African spirituality.
The youth of the indigenous cultures are being very drawn to Western society. You know,
exactly.
Hollywood and the cities, and that's why people like us, white folk from Maine and from Queens, New York, are being called into the bush of Africa, because this is our passion and this is what we're willing to do, and someone has got to do it. Because you know what? If the wisdom of the elders and of African spiritual traditions is not brought into the modern world, we won't be here in a few generations. We need their wisdom, their connection with nature, their connection with spirit in order to survive.
You know how
so
we were
what can
about
we do? Tell us about the initiative so we can help preserve that wisdom.
Well, we need to take a deep look at ourselves. We're sitting here on Fire Island, and we are sitting in garbage. There's garbage all along the boardwalks. There's garbage all over the beach. And if you go into the ocean, you can look around and realize that you are swimming with garbage. I've had plastic bags wrap themselves around my ankles 3 times. In the last 2 days.
I see.
And, you know, and it's because we've lost what those people are still holding so dear that will also be lost to them.
So what can we do? So we have to clean up our own planet. Is that's what you're saying, really?
Well, yeah. Simplify.
Simplify our lifestyle.
You know, the biggest offender on the beach here, the very biggest offender, and I found a bird carcass, bones, only, actually it was a bird skeleton, not a carcass, a bird skeleton wrapped up in ribbons and balloons and stuff like that, and I wish I had kept it because I would have taken a picture so that I could, you know, show it, even go along the beach and say, this is what we're doing. The biggest offender is balloons. And what's, Asa, what is it, Sotheby's? Sotheby's?
Yeah.
What are you saying?
There's a balloon here from some big department store, and I want to send it, or actually I'd really like to carry it and bring it up to the highest of the high there and say, you have to stop doing balloons because it's killing our ocean life.
Wait, the balloons, like the rubber balloons getting into the ocean is killing the fish?
Yeah, of course it is.
No, hang on a second. I need to give a reality check here. Ina and I have been picking garbage up on the beach in Fire Island for the last, you know, several weeks. And
yeah, I've been picking up garbage, too, as I walk along the beach,
right,
too.
We've been horrified by
it's
all the garbage.
It's huge here. It made me sick to my stomach.
And a couple of years ago, I mean, I guess up until a couple of years ago, the government was using the ocean as a dump site, a garbage dump, and now when there's a southwest wind, the garbage blows ashore. So, So not only is the ocean reflecting our own culture back to us by washing our own garbage ashore, but people are also littering. And as we've been picking up garbage along the beach, every day more than anything else that we see, bizarrely enough, is balloons. I mean, and it's not like balloons is the evil of society, but it's just such a metaphor and a symptom, and you know, it's almost like, wow, maybe we should outlaw balloons because they're just all over the beach. It's crazy. It's a balloon string.
The balloons from people,
you know,
on the beach, you're saying?
Topic of Africa here.
Huh. Well, I mean, I think you know, that we should definitely be more responsible as people about our own garbage. I mean,
that's right. And that's what Ina was saying about this company, Sotheby's, that, you know, is obviously putting out balloons with their logo on it to advertise for themselves, and their stuff is washing up on the damn beach.
Yeah, it's awful.
Yeah.
And not only that, you know, like even since we've been here on Fire Island, last night a little girl came up to me and asked me if I wanted to buy some, what are they called, glow sticks. And they're pieces of plastic that hold some kind of liquid that gets neon when you slap it around.
Oh, yeah, that's probably poison and toxic as well.
Yeah, and not only that, you know, so this little girl came up to me and asked me if I wanted to buy one, and I said, no, thank you. And she said, well, you could sell them. And I said, but I would rather not sell them. And she said, you don't like them, do you? And I said, no, I don't, because they end up in the garbage in less than 2 days.
Yeah.
And they also end up on the ground because kids leave them because they're not being taught respect about
right.
those kinds
and
of things.
Toxic.
I mean, it goes beyond littering.
That makes that thing
grow. All the way back to stop making
awful.
The waste to begin with. Why do we need this shit?
Well, we don't need a lot of stuff that's out there, you know.
Yeah, it's consumerism.
Yeah, well, that's how the corporations
okay.
make
so,
money.
Alan, if I
you
can
know.
Get back to your question about, you know, our initiatives. I mean, we've got... Ina and I have a lot of ambitious plans for the Barca Foundation, and I'd like to also make a plea for help and financial support. You know, if you're interested, if your listeners are interested in what we're saying,
yeah, definitely tell them how to get in touch with you. Tell them
yeah.
what you need.
Well, I'll give you a phone
let's
number
see if
where
anyone
you can call
is...
it directly. It's
and your email.
It's 413-446-7466. And you can email us at HP, as in Henry Potter, Harry Potter, channel, channel, at yahoo.com.
HPchannel@yahoo.com?
Yeah.
And tell people a little bit about what they would be contacting you for and what to
right.
do.
Well, you know, in terms of the issues of what we're talking about right here, indigenous culture in Africa and elsewhere around the world is truly in jeopardy
yeah.
of being wiped out
yeah.
within the next 50 years with the encroachment of westernization. And we're seeing it like up close and personal in Burkina Faso when we go out there and work in the bush. So there are a couple of things, there are several things that we're doing. Number one, As I mentioned, I'm a former television producer. Ina also has just a natural gift with a camera in her hands. We are filming and photographing indigenous life in the bush of Burkina Faso and now in Ghana. And we are in the process of creating television programs and documentary films to educate people and create awareness about what's happening. So it's not just your typical National Geographic, okay, here's what life is like in the bush. It's all that, but it's also a look at ourselves, a look at our own culture, a look at the collision that's happening right now between modernization and indigenous. And it's also...
Well, do you have some of the stuff up on YouTube that people can see
yet,
right now?
Not yet. We're really kind of just getting out of the gate.
And there's only two of us, and I don't do computers.
And here's the plea for help. You know, we don't even have money right now for a website. I have a lot of web experience, and I'm not going to just throw up a slapdash one-pager. We really want to put up a very professional site, and it's going to require some funding.
Or some help, if somebody can do it for us.
Right.
So you need money to help
join
people more aware of the African spirituality that's disappearing fast.
That's right. That's really in jeopardy right now. And, for instance, you know, we have friends in a beach community called Kokrobite in Ghana. Now, this is almost like a Ghanaian equivalent to Fire Island, if you will. Okay, this is a bit of a tourist destination. It's filled with artists and musicians and Rastafari.
Master carvers.
And
in Ghana, huh?
Drummers. And they drum and they sing and they dance on the beach all night long. And
they have, there are fishermen there that have been doing it since the beginning of time. And everybody, most people just live on the beach. They don't even have a house.
It's a fishing village. It's a fishing village that has become a bit of a tourist town. And
not like we know it, though.
And the problem is, you know, there's a hotel and sort of a patina of, you know, gloss. But you turn the corner around the hotel and you see a town that is in more dire state of poverty than anything that Ina and I had seen in Burkina Faso.
Yeah, it got me, and I have never been freaked out by anything like that, but there was so much waste in such a small space. When you're
human waste.
The bush,
we're talking about feces. We're talking about, you know, excrement.
Yeah.
So they don't have
sewers
there.
People were just sitting in it practically, and it was really frightening. We were frightened about disease. We were frightened about health of people. And Ghana is this incredibly wealthy country.
Mm.
Okay, Ghana is a bastion of westernization in Africa. It is one of the shining lights of progress. However, they're just imitating Western culture, like, you know, making all the same mistakes and throwing out their indigenous culture in the process. You know, and so we're seeing all this private money come into the coast of Ghana, buying up land, privatizing the land, and this indigenous fishing village does not even know what is about to hit them. Ina has spent 30 years in Maine. She saw the coast of Maine become unaffordable for the local fishermen of Maine who had lived there for generations.
So
one of our initiatives, one of the many, is to create a land trust in Kokrobite to preserve as much of an area of beachfront property as we can and put it in a land trust that would be owned by the village.
And also the money would go for drilling water, drilling wells, because right now they have no source of water.
These are huge projects for the two of you. You definitely need some help.
Well, is there water here? And he said, oh, yeah, there's water right down there. He says, we just, you know, nobody's got the money to get to it.
Wow.
You know,
it's not the government. Don't they want to help the people?
But it's not, you know, they're poor, but they're not poor.
There's out there, isn't there?
They're extraordinary.
Yeah. But the government is not interested in helping their own people and preserving their own traditions?
The government is corrupt, just like every government around the planet.
And it's not only that, Alan. The government is interested in having Ghana be held up as a shining example of progress. And they view the, you know, old ways as needing to be, as being outdated and really needing to be overthrown. And, you know, we're looking at a much more holistic framework here where things have to be held together and the modernization needs to occur in balance with nature, in balance and in communication with spirit so that, you know, we don't deplete our natural resources and pollute our bodies of water and, you know, leave homeless on the street when, you know, the very wealthy are, you know, living off the cream of the world. It's just,
well, it's,
you know,
a global problem. It's not just Africa. It's everywhere, you know.
That's
it's,
right.
It's a world view. It's a lifestyle that's gotten corrupt.
Yes.
And out of touch with the source of life. So
Alan, you know, in terms of what your show is about and what you were saying earlier about, you know, what got us into this work and into this path, the spiritual work, the indigenous technology, the indigenous spiritual technology, Maladoma is reclaiming that word technology and putting it to ancient principles and protocols and ways of working, you know, that people have called all sorts of other things in the past, and he's taking it and using it, he's reclaiming it. And my own experience and with that kind of work has helped me to realize that if I am going to help change the world in any way, this is it. This is it for me. I really felt a resonance and a certain aptitude to this work, and I realized that if Western culture is going to change, it needs to adopt some of the very basic principles that are found in the basis of this work. Sacredness, the sacredness of that which is sacred, you know,
respect.
Honoring
which connects us to the source of life. That's what I define sacred as.
Listening to the wisdom of the elders and also of the children, honoring community and sustaining community so that your own greatness can come out in order to serve the community, to serve the whole. It's the community that allows one's greatness to truly come forth.
I agree. I would love to promote Somay's work here in the East Coast anyway.
Fabulous.
Is he planning on coming back?
He is sacrificed. He's a sacrifice. He's like, you know, fully on board with you know, fulfilling his contract this time around. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing.
Is he coming back to New York at all?
There's actually a training a two-year training that we just did the first part of in May, and the second part for this year is coming up this week on Wednesday.
Ina and I are helping to facilitate the training.
Where is that going to be held?
If people are interested,
it's off the chart.
you can go. I'll give you a website. Okay,
yes, please give us some websites and more numbers.
Yeah, it's www.eastcoastvillage, EASTVILLAGE, eastcoastvillage.org. And you can also go to
Maladoma. And where is that taking place? Where's the actual workshop going to take place?
It takes place at the Abode of the Message.
In New Lebanon, New York.
Upstate New York. So May's going to be there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is he coming into the city at all?
He does. He just spoke recently in the East Village.
I wish I knew that. I would like to interview him for this show and also my television show I do.
Oh, that would be fabulous.
So when is he going to be back in New York City?
You know what? His schedule is probably listed on Maladoma.com.
How do you spell that?
Maladoma.com. And I'll give you a book reference as well. His autobiography is an absolutely thrilling.
Oh, I have it, actually. I think I do have it.
Okay. No, then read it.
Yeah.
But I live in the East Village. I wish I knew about it because I do want to meet him. And he sounds... So he is really the source of all this knowledge and has... he's preserved the traditional African wisdom.
Yes, he has. Maladoma has a foot in two worlds. I mean, he's got a foot in the spirit world and a foot in the manifest world. He also has a foot in the indigenous world and a foot in the modern world.
Mm-hmm.
That's
four feet, but anyway.
He has a PhD from the Sorbonne and Brandeis University, and he also was initiated in the traditional style of the Dagra in Burkina Faso, and he's devoted his life to creating communities around the world, you know, that practice this kind of work
to help bring us back into balance.
That's
well,
right.
I definitely want to talk to him and meet him, and I think you guys are doing great work promoting what this spiritual knowledge is and trying to do something huge, like saving
the
world.
Yeah, it's a big wake-up call.
You know, I want to say one thing, Alan, that as amazing as Maladoma is, and we sing his praises and we give thanks to him every day in our prayers, you know, we are truly on our own path. Ina and I are on our own path with this work, and Maladoma has opened up the gateway for us to Africa and to African spirituality and to the indigenous world. For me, Ina was already working with Native American traditions and Peruvian ayahuasqueros, you know, the Barca Foundation has an intention to work with indigenous cultures worldwide. Right now, however, we are very focused in Africa. We were recently given land in the bush of Burkina, and one of our top priority initiatives is to raise money to build a traditional compound in the bush so that we can...
And to drill a well.
So that we can really begin to immerse ourselves and other Westerners in this very different world, so that we can learn from them and so that we can bring the gifts that we have from our culture to them in their culture without destroying their culture. Because
where is Burkina? What country is that?
What's that?
What country is Burkina in?
Burkina is Burkina Faso. Burkina Faso is a country. It is just north of Ghana. The capital is Ouagadougou. It used to be called Upper Volta. And it is an amazing country. And Africa is an amazing continent.
So the Barca, B-A-R-K-A, initiatives is your kind of project to, and you gave me a sheet, you want to build this traditional compound, you want to raise money for documentaries,
yes.
You want to create a preservation of land trust. And you also want to create a conference which will bring a lot of indigenous people from all over the world together and connect the dots, bringing people, organizations
and,
help create change.
So much that we're doing all these things right now, and we need
you
help.
You just need money
really
and resources
for, you know, people to join us. And, Alan, is there a way that people can contact you and that you can contact us?
Definitely.
If
but give your information again, and then I'll give mine. But so
okay.
To contact Ina and Isu, what do they do?
413-446-7466. And you can
74, what was the last part?
7466.
Okay, this program will also be archived, so people can come to the bbsradio.com archives, look under New Realities on this date, what is it, August 7th, and they could, you know, hear what you're doing by just listening to the archives.
Great.
So that's good. I just wanted to ask Ina, if there's a difference between the Native American spirituality and traditions and the Africans, is there specific differences?
They're very similar. They're very similar because it's like, I guess
it's
I would have to ask
to earth,
what
but
the question in my head was.
That you see? Was there like any subtle differences that separates the two?
What popped into your head?
What popped into my head was how many people, when they step outside the door of their house, understand or have any kind of connection to what they're stepping into.
You mean the world? You mean the natural world?
The birds and the bees and the sky and the sun and the rain and the bugs and the leaves and the wind and
well, most
the water
people
and
so
all of that. And that's
from
how
nature,
those people
they,
live.
They just,
and the Native Americans here, you know, I ask for forgiveness from their ancestors because, you know, we wrecked them. And we kind of did that in Africa, but they've still been able to hold on quite a bit,
and they're still holding on here too.
Yeah,
you know we're going.
Well, we have to change the way we live completely because nature is just a huge inconvenience for a lot of people.
Oh, that's incomprehensible to me.
But it is,
it is,
you know,
completely
people
incomprehensible.
Think they're so
nature is the
from
answer.
Nature that
you know,
if
people pay how many gazillion dollars to go to therapy, and all they've got to do is go outside.
I totally agree with you. So we have to change the fundamental way people are thinking. You know, that's
well,
why
yeah.
I call this program New Realities, because it's a way to show people there's other levels of reality, other ways of looking at the world.
Yeah, and we have to stop brainwashing our children.
Well,
we are the change that we want to see in the world.
Well, you guys definitely are seeing you out there today at the dock, and with what you're doing and your shaved heads and all that, you definitely seem to be the change.
Oh.
I mean,
well, so are you. Otherwise, we wouldn't be talking to you and maybe a lot
so,
of ears that are listening.
Do you want to just
say
end
way.
With some music you have there from Africa?
I would need to...
Uh-oh, we need to switch phones.
Switch phones to do that, so...
You can switch phones, and I'll just I'll just wrap up here a little bit, and you tell me when you're ready.
Okay.
And
okay.
I'll
or
just
you
say, this has been New Realities with Alan Steinfeld. If you want to reach me, email me at newrealities@earthlink.net, or check my website, newrealities.tv or newrealitiestv.com. I'm on every, it's right now, Tuesday night at 7:30 p.m. West Coast time, 10:30 p.m. East Coast time. I also do a television show in Manhattan and also on MNN.org. That's Manhattan Neighborhood Network.org. That is every Monday night at 9 p.m. on Channel 57. Or you can look at MNN.org and click on Channel 57 if you have Windows Media Player. I've been talking to Ina and Isu, who are currently working on initiatives to preserve African wisdom, traditional African wisdom, in Burkina Faso, which is a country in West Africa, and they work with their spiritual teacher, Somé, who, what's the name of Somé's book he has out?
Of Water and the Spirit.
Right.
Maladoma
it's a beautiful,
Somé.
Beautiful book.
Oh, it's incredible.
He's got more
he seems like a beautiful,
yeah,
a beautiful
bunch.
Guy. I mean, I would definitely want to have some contact with him.
All right. So I'm going to take you through a little musical journey of West Africa. I've got, I don't know, 10, 15 songs here. I'm just going to kind of... Rifle
well, we only have
them.
About 5 minutes,
have,
so just play those songs, and then we'll just kind of say, "Let's play that. Play like one of your best there."
Okay. Well, I'm gonna. Can I jump around and play little parts of?
You're wasting your time.
Here we go.
Let's do it.
Okay, jump around. Yeah.
So, Alan, I just want to say that I know how blessed we are for being able to speak with each other this evening.
Thank you. Thank you. I'll see you out on the beach this week for sure. Okay. Tell him to put the phone closer to the computer.
These are friends of ours.
Okay, put the phone closer to the speaker.
And they told us it is the music.
And hang up one of the receivers, too.
having with himself.
Radio.com. Thank you for listening. I've been talking to Ina and Isu of the Barca Initiative and playing their music and talking about spirituality in West Africa. So thank you for listening, and I will see you next week.
I'm tired of waiting, and my hope is fading, but I'll be good enough someday. So I packed up my whole life, and I had myself a good cry, and I set out on my way. I said I should have known it was not about me. And I've been trying to forget, and why am I always laughing? Want to see, it hasn't even hit me yet. Pretty little lies, pretty little dirt, pretty big surprise, said it wouldn't hurt. Pretty little lies, pretty little dirt, pretty big surprise, said it wouldn't hurt. It's been 3,000 hours since I saw you last. Now I've been watching the clock, and so damn much has happened since that time has passed. And I miss our little talks, and darling.